listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 167. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the I'm too damn tired to come up with something creative, John Brownstone. I will rant about being tired in the bonus section. Thank you very much. I've been looking forward to that all week long.
Oh, my. That's a long time to look forward to something.
To ranting about being tired, yes. This week, we're talking about going to dungeons and play parties and BDSM clubs while you're traveling far from home. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And those reviews really do help. We get messages from people who found us at random on their podcast app, and that happens when reviews are left. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I will continue to hate for the rest of my fucking life, LovingDS, the number one, LovingDS1. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can also watch us live stream this episode every Thursday before it's released on Friday. All links are in the show notes. Yet again, another week, another big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest patrons. We see you, we love you, we are so grateful to you. If you'd like access to more content and to more of us and this thing we're doing, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 a month. If you just head over to patreon.com/KaylaLords, patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes. And I wish you could search for us on Patreon. You cannot. You have to use the direct link. So patreon.com/KaylaLords or click the link in the show notes. Can I talk yet?
Yes.
So for the live stream viewers, I was asked, could you put a pause between let's get into the show and before you get into the show for the podcast edit? And I was like, sure. But remember, the camera's going to be staring at us. The people will see us pause. So,
but the person who does the editing is very grateful for that, because most times you just ramble right on through and, you know, my eyes, even though I wear glasses, I have to increase that little bouncy bar so much to find a spot where I can cut it where the audio doesn't sound like it's been chopped.
So who needs to take a breath when they speak? Also, I'm very grateful to the podcast editor, so I'm only going to give you a little bit of hell.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week's episode was a kinky patron request from CDC. I don't know if she'll be able to watch live or catch it later. No problem. We're still answering questions. She had several questions, and I answered one of them in the conversation we were having. But this one was about, wait, can you do that? Is that a thing? Is that available? How does that work? And the idea of going to another town, another city, another country that you're visiting, and maybe going and sort of checking out their kink scene. I'm a highly anxious person and a very anxious traveler. So that does not fill me with a lot of excitement. But other people who are probably not like me, there are many, might find it really, really fascinating and interesting.
Sure.
Especially if you happen to live in a place that doesn't have a thriving kink scene. Maybe you don't have a local club or dungeon you can go to. Maybe just trying to get to your munch requires a 2-hour drive. And there you are. You've traveled to some city or town or wherever that actually has a community. I would not blame you if you were like, wait, no, this is my opportunity to go and find out more about this. Yes, it is actually. But we are going to talk about what some of the things that we have figured out that you should probably do before, during, all that good stuff. So, first of all, this is a time when FetLife is your friend. FetLife has a really bad reputation for some really crappy stuff, and that is not inaccurate, quite frankly. No. There are a lot of predators on FetLife. There's a lot of people who don't know how to read just a bio, just to say, you know, that you're taken or that you don't want DMs or whatever. Yes, all that exists. Yes, but for knowing what the hell goes on in any local area, FetLife is still the best resource we found.
You know, unfortunately, yes, there are, you know, a lot of undesirable types on FetLife. There's no way to vet people coming into it online, unfortunately.
It's a social media space, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's social media. So you unfortunately have the good and the bad. What you have to remember with FetLife is the block button is your friend when push comes to shove.
And but ignoring is a fine thing.
Yeah. As far as finding out, local events in different areas, FetLife is your best resource for that.
Yeah. It's where you should. You might eventually go off FetLife. Maybe somebody has a website. Maybe you learn about something somewhere else. But mm-hmm. I would always recommend starting with FetLife.
Right.
Just type in the city that you're going to. You can even type in the county if it's not a major metropolitan area. The region, if there's sort of a regional name mm-hmm. for it. This will be a lot easier if you're going from a small town where you live to a large city. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can only imagine what you would find in New York, in Chicago, in D.C., which we have friends in D.C., and they could probably just answer mm-hmm. that question for us directly. Yep. I mean, everywhere. Even in our area, we're widespread. The Tampa Bay area isn't just Tampa.
Right.
But we have a few places to go and explore. And then if you're willing to make an hour and a half drive, you can go, or 2 hours, you can go to Orlando. And yeah. I mean, it's not actually that far for us. So
there's a
lot more, obviously, in larger areas, but I wouldn't discount smaller areas too. You right. never know. You truly never know.
Like one thing I was going to say too, I came across a website that has pulled together all the links for munches throughout the country and actually throughout the world.
And that's, they keep it up to date, right?
Well, here's the thing. You had asked me about that. What I have found, this website is very easy to search.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay. In some cases, easier to search than FetLife. But when you come down, say if you're searching for a particular area like the Tampa Bay area, it brings you into the city. And then it gives you the individual links for the various munches and things going on. Those links then take you to the FetLife group.
Gotcha.
For that.
So it just redirects you back to FetLife.
It redirects you back to FetLife. But the thing I like about it, as I say, the search function is a whole lot simpler than FetLife. I do find FetLife, searching for things on FetLife sometimes a little pain in the assy.
Y'all, he's the one. He's our sort of social ambassador. Like, I use FetLife for people who message me. And if nobody messaged me, I would probably never log into FetLife. Mm-hmm. That is the God's honest truth. Yeah. I have friends and connections and people connect with me there. And that's cool. And I like that. But yeah.
Right.
So I will go with what you say. And mm-hmm. we will try to put the link to that particular
yes.
site in the show notes.
Yes.
That will be available on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to check that out for yourself, but it will just direct you back to FetLife.
It will direct you back to FetLife. So yeah, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, you know, as far as finding out about what is where and what's going on, yeah. FetLife really is kind of your main resource for that. Now, a lot of dungeons do tend to have their own website
and social media. That was what I was going to say. So if you really just don't love being on FetLife, I kind of get it. Use it for the research purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Find a place, you know, especially if it's a place you go to on some kind of regular basis, whether that's within a year or maybe you go every year or whatever. Maybe maybe it's where your family lives and you can get a night off and you're like, oh,
right?
We're just going out for drinks with friends. Yeah, whatever. And you're going to your local club. But once you do that, if you can find like a place you really like, yes, they usually have a website.
Right.
I don't want to say the larger, but the ones that are sort of run by multiple people, sometimes when it's just like a person who's trying desperately to have a club, they pick and choose what they're working on and they might stay just in FetLife.
Yeah.
But in some of the clubs that we've gone to, they've got a website, they've got social media. So you right. can also then follow them on social media to keep up with what they're doing rather do that.
The two big clubs in this Florida area, they both have a web presence.
Mm-hmm.
They both have, I know one has a very large Facebook presence. They have a Facebook group. Both of them, I know, have a Twitter.
Instagram.
Presence.
The Woodshed has an Instagram.
Woodshed has Instagram, and and they do...
Yes.
Yeah, they do use that quite frequently.
So if you happen to... And you don't have to do this if this is a place you're going regularly, but if it's a place that you're like, hey, I'm going to be traveling to this city, this country, this mm-hmm. wherever, in 6 months, let me do some research. Ooh, look, there's a club. I don't really want to spend my time on FetLife. But look, they have some social media. Follow them right. as long as it's safe for you to do. One, you'll get a feel of who they are if they post regularly and what they mm-hmm. offer. And two, you'll kind of already have a connection and you'll get announcements. Maybe they're throwing a big party that particular weekend right. or week that you're there. Maybe they're doing some classes and some workshops that during the time you happen to be there. And you'll know about these things before you get there. Now, it's not like you have to plan ahead. Hi, I'm Miss Anxious. I like to plan ahead. If I were to do that, and I did not have somebody named John Brownstone who would just do it for me, that's how I would do it. I would go, I know I'm traveling here. This is something I want to do. Let me go ahead and do my research now. And quite frankly, of all the things any of us ever have to do to prepare for a trip, how much fun would planning kinky fuckery be? Like, I would rather do that than pack, quite frankly, which we still have to do for London.
Yes. yes, we do.
So.
Tomorrow.
Now, you found a place, you found a date, you're like, okay, I'm interested. My recommendation would be if their rules are not clearly stated on their FetLife page or their website or whatever their requirements are, reach out and ask. Tell them, I'm coming in from out of town. I'd really like to go to this party, or I'd really like to take a tour of your club. I've never been in one. Or, hey, are you having any workshops? Let them know who you are. Your Fet name or your sort of scene name. You don't have to like give them your blood type or anything. But ask, reach out and ask and say, is there anything I need to know? What do I need to do? How does this work? Now, a lot of them will put it on FetLife or they will put it on their website. They're going to try and make this as easy as possible for you. They might not put their address out, though. Some places will, some places won't. It depends how the club is structured and where they are. So feel free to reach out and let them know you're new. Let them know you're coming in from out of town. Mm-hmm. And then they can let you know whatever they haven't already put out publicly, if anything.
I follow... It doesn't happen so much here with the Phoenix, but I know with the Shed, because of the location that they're in, Orlando, it's a very big tourist destination.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So on their FetLife group, I always see a lot of people popping in there. Oh, hey, I'm going to be visiting between this time and that time. What's going on down there? Are you having any open parties? You know, are you having any themed parties? What's going to be on the agenda for mm-hmm. this time frame? And they're good about getting back to people.
Right, exactly. Because quite frankly, most well-run clubs want people to come. They want safe people. They want responsible people. They want mm-hmm. legal people. But they want people to come. They want the revenue. They want the traffic. They want the experience. They want the community. So you're not imposing on them. If you ask some questions and say, hey, I'm coming in from out of town. Is there any way I can come to whatever you've got going on? Every club has its own rules. So some clubs, you can only go if you join. Some, mm-hmm. you don't necessarily have to join, but you'll pay a higher fee. If you're in that situation, only you can decide, okay, is the membership fee worth it to save the money on the entrance fee, if that's an issue. If it's a place you're going to go back to regularly, you might want to join if joining is an option. Right. And there are open clubs. There are swinger clubs and sex clubs that aren't membership-based either.
Yeah, and those are a little different. Now, I know for a fact with BDSM clubs, with dungeons here in Florida, here... Orlando and Jacksonville, those are the three I know of within the state, they are no sex allowed in the club.
Right. And that's probably for legal reasons.
That's legal. That has to do with state legalities, I believe.
Right. And so that's the other thing.
Yeah. Now, swinger clubs obviously are...
Do something totally different.
Do something totally different.
It's all different. But when you find places you're like, hey, I'd like to go to that, if their rules are not readily apparent... Reach out and ask.
Reach out and ask.
Ask how you get in, what you need to know. they want to tell you, because here's what will kill their business: people coming in and breaking the fucking rules.
Yeah.
So they want you to know what you're supposed to do mm-hmm. and how you're supposed to behave. And some things that some people might go, well, that's obvious, aren't always obvious to other people.
Yeah.
We go to our local club and we do the morning thing. Oh, we're going to miss that this month, aren't
yes, we?
I'm
are.
Sad.
I'm missing my rope workshop and
yeah, but we're going to have daytime. Hotel sex in London.
Yeah, baby.
That wins. Okay. Okay. So I'm not sad. But every time we go, even though they know us and we are members and we are now part of their regular crew, morning, mm-hmm. daytime crew.
Their morning crew.
They still will kind of like do a nod towards the rules or say, you remember, right? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, don't forget. Because their livelihood depends on everybody coming in and following the rules.
Right.
And if somebody is really like type A about letting you know the rules, that's not about you. That's about them protecting their
right.
business.
They have to protect themselves. I mean, let's face it. You know, there are certain things like at our local club that we attend, Phoenix, they have a rule. There is nothing that goes on in the club that goes around somebody's neck, whether it's rope, any kind of anything that would be hanging.
Because mm-hmm. we have toys to play with.
We have that pillory set. And you know what? When they explained it to me, it made perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's something around your neck, you know, if you're doing a suspension scene and you've got rope around your neck, something can go wrong. I mean, you know, seriously hurt or killed. That is a big liability for a club. And
right. They're going to protect you, but they're also going to protect themselves.
Protect themselves,
so
yes.
If you're coming in from out of town and it's a club you've never gone to, by the way, all of these things work for your local club when you like maybe move to an area or if you discover mm-hmm. that there's one there. Ask if there's a certain type of play that you want to engage in and you don't see anything about it in the rules. Ask. Always ask.
Yeah.
Because that's what we did. We were like, hey, we have this pillory set we'd love to bring in. We could hook it up. It would be a non-permanent thing. We'd take it home with us. But we'd love to play with it in the way it's designed. Is that a thing we can do? And once we described the mechanics of it, he was like, no, you cannot do that. We're like, okay, good to know. And you're right. It did make total sense. And he was like, no, we don't let anybody suspend anybody from their neck in any way
right.
at all. That's just a thing we don't do. And somebody else might go, well, that's obvious. Well, it wasn't obvious to us, so we asked. So that's the other thing. Get comfortable. And see, the nice thing is, if you're planning this before you go into the area, you can do this all online. For my introvert peeps who don't like to actually talk to anybody you don't know, message is your friend, okay? Yeah. Just email or DM or whatever and get the answers to your questions.
Well, the other thing too is probably about a year ago, I had somebody from the Pacific Northwest reach out to me on FET and ask me about a local club.
That's the other thing on my list that we can talk about.
They were actually going to be traveling to Florida for business. And while they were here, they wanted to get in some playtime.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew I lived in the area. They messaged me and asked me my thoughts about the club.
If you ever needed yet another reason to have a kinky community of friends, especially online, this is it. If you know someone lives in an area and maybe you're unsure of the place, you found that there's a club or a dungeon, but you're like, I wonder what it's actually like. Or you're not finding anything, but you thought, well, maybe I should find something. Maybe my search parameters aren't right. Reach out to people you know in that area and see if they can help you. Because here's the thing. There's a couple things about this. One, they can give you information you won't find online, either in the form of, oh, this is what you can expect when you go. Or, we have something, but it's sort of semi-private. The other thing is they can sometimes be the person who gets you in. So some places, depending on the area and the way they're set up, and everywhere is going to be a little bit different. Some places don't let anybody into their club until they've been vetted. Somebody has to vouch for them. That's a protection thing. That's a privacy thing. There can be all kinds of reasons for that. We do, thankfully, have not really encountered that here. We have a lot of freedom to go where we want to go, but that's not always the case for everybody else in every other place. So some dungeons and clubs are like that. And if you reach out to somebody you know, they can, one, tell you that. And two, if you've got a good enough rapport, they might be able to vouch for you and get you in so you can go have that experience. Right.
Now, one thing you may want to realize about these clubs like this, especially a reputable club, when you go to a party at one of these clubs, if you've never been there before, they ask you for identification and they run a background check.
Yeah, especially if it's like a membership place, right, where they're going to let, like, they want to know. I know in ours, if you are on the sex offender list, you're not getting in.
You're not getting in.
They don't care what your reason for being on that list is. Right. Doesn't matter what the technicalities are. You're not getting in. Right. It's not happening.
And the same thing, they're looking for anybody with a history of assault, physical abuse.
Yeah. So that's a safety thing.
Right. And they want to keep you safe. They want you to go in there and be able to have fun and
they
enjoy yourself.
And they want to protect their liability,
and
too.
And they
want to
protect their liability, too.
Exactly.
Yes.
So... And if you're trying to pick between this place and that place, depending on how you think about these things, there's something to be said for the place that's like, no, I need to actually know who you really are. Yeah. Because we want our anonymity, and it is understandable that people would be worried about having their identity found out or mm-hmm. being outed. Believe us, we know. But
Ben just listened to that episode.
Episode 82. If you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Episode 82. But I want to know that the people in charge of that place that I'm in, where I'm half naked and getting my ass beat, know exactly who is in their establishment.
Oh, yeah.
And know who's walking in and out of the door. Now, if you're really freaked out by that because you've got privacy concerns, which totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start reaching out maybe to people you know in the area, or getting to know people in the group, following the establishment to get a feel of who they are.
Right. And that's an excellent point, because that was something I was going to bring up. You beat me to the punch. Following the club's group on FetLife,
mm-hmm.
Seeing the people who respond. I know Woodshed, they monitor that thing.
Yeah.
With a fine-tooth comb. Anybody posts anything inappropriate on there, it's gone in a heartbeat.
Right. And that's the kind of stuff you kind of want to watch out for. If they care enough about keeping their group online safe,
yeah,
you can feel better knowing that they're going to try and keep you safe in the actual club. So that's another good way to sort of decide, is this a place I want to go to? Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes you don't have time to do all that damn research.
Yeah.
The year I went, was it 2017 Eroticon, or was it last year? If you don't remember this, then it was 2017.
Okay.
When you get a bunch of sex writers together, invariably people are kinky. Okay. Not everybody, but enough of us. And so there was a lot of talk about local clubs, like in and around London, not Munches, but like dungeons and clubs. And a friend of mine, Zach Jane Kier, who's an author and just freaking amazing. I could just listen to her rant all the time. She has zero fucks to give.
I had the pleasure of meeting her last year.
Does not care what you think about her. And I love that, because I'm not like that. But she was talking about, one of these years you come, we should go here, we should do this, blah, blah, blah. And then as we got into the conversation, I realized it was kind of different than what I'm used to. And I still am fuzzy on how the details work. But basically, it was the impression I got from that conversation was, if one of us doesn't help you get in, you're not getting into this place. And I was wow.
So it is
different.
From the things I have seen on clubs in the UK and Europe, yes, they still base their admittance to the club on old school vetting.
And I'm kind of okay with that, because if I'm, first of all, in a different city, or in this case, a different fucking country, I'm not personally going to feel comfortable just waltzing up to the dungeon doors, okay? And you kind of want somebody who knows about it and knows the culture and can kind of guide you, like, don't do that, okay? Like, I sort of laugh when we go to London. I try not to be that American. I can't help it. I'm American, so I'm going to be that American at some point. I'm going to be loud and a little like too much for people on the train in London, but that's okay. And so that would be a source of comfort to me. So if you do not have time to vet and research, and you find yourself in town and you find yourself with, you know, some kinky friends who are like, hey, let's go to this thing. Some people are really adventurous and spontaneous and will just go. And you know what? They'll be like, you know what? No matter what happens, it's going to be an experience. Woo! I am not like that. So I'm going to tell you how I would handle this based on my anxious personality.
Do tell. Do tell.
Very risk averse. So first of all, I'm going to ask about a billion questions. Like, describe it to me. What's it like? What kind of play? What kind of equipment? What kind of people? Then I'm going to think about the person inviting me. If the person inviting me is somebody who, we all have these people in our lives. You like them. They're fun. But you're like, oh, no, you're not going to be the one to come bail me out. I can feel this. Yeah. You're not the one I can depend on. You're a lovely human being.
I wouldn't want to share a jail cell with you either.
Right. So I'm going to think about that person and how I feel about that person. If that person is somebody I'm like, you know what? Yeah, they've got their head on their shoulders. I would let them babysit my goldfish. Yes. Then I'm probably going to let them lead me down that path of kinky fuckery and go explore their local dungeon. If, however, I'm thinking, oh, this person is fun, I'm going to go, who's with me and who can I count on? And I might not go alone, but that's me because I'm risk averse. And not everybody is risk averse. And people... many, many more people than myself are very spontaneous and go with life's adventures as they are thrown at you. And I admire you. I also worry for you. And I would like to take out insurance for you because I think you need it. I am not that person. I'm not that person at all. So if you find that you have those opportunities, I say take them if you can, but just think them through. Just make sure you know what you're getting into. Ask a few questions before you go traipsing off after this person that maybe you might have just met in a bar 5 minutes ago. Like, just think it through. But I also think take those opportunities. I was in London and somebody was like, hey, I'm going to take you to my local club. I'll vouch for you. You'll get in. It'll be fine. I'd be like, no. Where's John Brownstone? However, if we are in London and you, John Brownstone, are like, I've been talking to whoever and we're going to do this. And I think it's going to be great. I'd be like, okay, we're going to have a glass of wine at dinner before we go. But yeah, we can go because you're with me. That is because I am anxious. Okay, not everybody is anxious. I do not expect everybody to do it like I would do it. But anxious people aren't all wrong either. Okay, thinking through a thing before you do it, not a bad plan. Not a bad idea. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying think about it before you go do it. Make sure you kind of feel comfortable with these people, that you don't think they would lead you down the absolute worst path of your whole life. And that you are willing to ask questions. Even if it's maybe not them, it's when you get there and you're like, okay, what are your rules? Who's your dungeon monitor? How are we staying safe? How do I get in? How much? Like, ask some questions. Ask some questions is all I'm saying. But don't necessarily throw away the opportunity if it presents itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, my little safety conscious brain is like, no, I want to do the research. And I want to look at it on Google Maps before I go. I want the street view. I'm going to read all the reviews I can find. Oh, that's right. It's kink. It's really hard to find reviews. I'm going to talk to people I know. Oh, that's right. I don't like to talk to people I know. Shit, maybe I just won't go. Which is why I am not in charge of these things. It's why I'm not in charge of these things. So we did an episode back in November before Thanksgiving, where we talked about traveling while kinky, packing your stuff. If you know you're going to get into kinky fuckery when you travel, reference back to that episode because you do want to be mindful going through airport security.
Yes.
I mean, you can go through security with a lot of toys, but based on the last time I read, at least TSA in the States, I don't know what it's like anywhere else, read their guidelines. Basically, if it looks like a weapon, they're going to confiscate it. Yeah. And a lot of the BDSM toys look like weapons because they are.
They are. Yeah.
So you have a lot more freedom if you're driving yourself somewhere, or if you can maybe buy it where you are and then maybe mail it back home when you're like, there's options. Right. But do be careful if you are planning on going out of town for Kinky Fuckery, mm-hmm. especially in public where you're not going to be in a house somewhere where you can just pick up whatever. You've got to like bring some implements with mm-hmm. you. Just be mindful.
I think within the states, you have a little bit more leeway with, you know, whatever's packed in your luggage.
Checked for sure. But carry on.
Carry on. Oh no. If they see something like that, oh goodness, not good. You're going to be pulled off to the side.
You'll lose it. And then you'll have to sit in the little side room for however long until they determine you're not a threat.
Right.
So just don't put yourself in that position. I would be interested, if you're watching on YouTube, feel free to comment below or in the live chat. And if you're listening on the podcast, feel free to reach out. If you have traveled with your weapons of mass destruction mm-hmm. or your, you know, maybe your wax play stuff or your sharp pointy things that you use mm-hmm. and you dealt with TSA or you learned some things about how to travel through airlines and airports with that stuff, please feel free to educate the rest of us. Mm-hmm. Like I've said about a million times, too risk averse. I'm gonna leave that shit at home.
I have heard of people if they have reservations at a particular hotel that they're staying at, and they have packed some toys in a box
and shipped it
to the hotel, and it's there waiting for them when they get there. Yep. When they're done, they ship it home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's much easier when you're in country than if you're going out of country.
True.
Good Lord, the shipping prices to anything in the UK is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There are ways about that. If you are curious about that, back in mm-hmm. November 2018, I can probably tell you what episode that was. Okay. I don't know. Hold on. See, this
and
is
you know,
the nice
thing
about being live. I have my computer right here.
Now, the thing about traveling to other clubs... Within the states, the U.S., things seem to be fairly consistent. State to state.
There's some small differences, but nothing too
now,
major.
Now, traveling abroad, I know that in various countries, things are different.
Yeah, you need to know the laws of the country you're going to. For sure.
And, you know, I've... used to follow somebody who, where did they live? Amsterdam?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it's somewhere in those countries. And in their BDSM clubs, sex is fine. Having sex
in
the club
in some
is
places.
Fine.
And again, there might be places... Here in our own country, that's fine.
That's fine.
Depends on how they're set up and depends on the laws.
Not just in their state,
but also in their county and their city. And
right.
It can be very complex, which is why you should not assume, I don't care how many clubs you've gone to, you're going to a new-to-you club, do not assume you know how it works there. If it is not publicly available to you before you go, ask. Mm-hmm. And if it's not clear when you get in there or you have questions about it, ask, because I can't imagine much worse than going to the kinky club, thinking you're about to get your kink on, doing stuff you would do at home where it's okay, and then getting your ass tossed out because you just didn't ask
if something was okay.
Like, that's a mood killer.
Yeah.
I think that's safe to say that's a mood killer.
Yeah.
So just ask. I think one thing that should be standard, even if they use different terminology or if they work slightly different, in any public place that you play, like a dungeon or a club, there should be some form of dungeon monitor.
Yes.
They might not call it that. I've never heard of another term, but that does not mean there's not another term. Essentially, what they're there to do is to sort of watch and make sure that everybody's playing safe. If you as a... audience member watching somebody have concerns, is that safe? Is that okay? The dungeon monitor is who you would go to and say, hey, that might be problematic.
You know,
let them handle it.
Especially if you're not familiar with the club or with the area. Mm-hmm. If you see something that looks kind of got you going, what's this? Is that really safe? Is that... do not approach the people playing, approach one of the dungeon monitors.
Right. And if,
when people generally do, edge play scenes in a club, one, they have designated areas for that.
Sometimes, yeah.
Most times they have designated areas for that. And before somebody performs that scene, they will go to the dungeon monitor and say, hey, this is the scene I'm doing. These are the things that are going to be happening during the scene.
Right.
So, right. You know, they are aware of that.
If you are interested in visiting a club outside of your area that does not talk about dungeon monitors or does not maybe refer to that term, I know it can sound repetitive here, ask how people stay safe. Mm-hmm. At that point, it's up to you if you are still comfortable playing or not. My personal opinion, I don't need a dungeon monitor. We know how we play. We play very safely in our minds, at least. I don't have any issues, but I'm still not comfortable being in a public place like that if there's not somebody watching out over all of us. I don't need you to watch out over me, but I also want to know that you're watching out over me, because I know what's going on between me and John Brownstone, but nobody else does. And I want that go-between who will calmly, considerately, in a way that does not like totally fuck up a scene, go, is everything okay here? And I want to know that that club prioritizes safety for everybody in, out, watching, participating, everything. The clubs that we have gone to have had both house rules that they post everywhere. There's no way you can say you did not know these house rules, right. About like the house safe word. So if that word comes out of somebody's mouth, everybody knows what that word means. It is the house safe word. And they have dungeon monitors.
What's the one for our club?
I think it's red.
Red?
I think is it red? Okay. I think so.
Some reason I was thinking Mayday, but
it might be. I always have to reread it.
I know.
When we go in, because it's not, I don't worry about it because I have my word and I know it's going to be taken care of. So if some place does not automatically say dungeon monitors or house rules, ask and then decide for yourself. Okay. Yeah. You cannot, not everybody can live like I live. And
I know for a fact that the club, the particular club we go to, they just don't pull somebody off the street and be a dungeon monitor.
No.
You know, yes, they are volunteers, but before they ever go out into the club as a dungeon monitor, they are trained.
Right. And they're people that they respect and that they trust and that aren't like didn't just show up off the street yesterday. Like these are, we talk about vetting in the community. This is one of those times. Mm-hmm. These people have been vetted. You might not like them on a personal level, but if the club is well run, you can rest assured that that person knows what the hell they're doing, is going to be hopefully a calming influence on the moment, and get shit done. Like, I know I would be an awful dungeon monitor. Would be awful. I'm too risk averse. Like, I would look at everything and go, I'm not sure about that. And then nobody would be allowed to do that thing because I couldn't handle it. Two, I hate confrontation. I would find it very difficult to walk up to a scene where something was potentially going down that I, as a dungeon monitor, felt I had to interject in for any reason and go, excuse me, pardon me, like that. I'm not even sure that's how you probably do it as a DM. I honestly don't know. Yeah. That's not a thing I could ever do. I don't care how well you trusted me or how much you liked me or how responsible I was. So there's a certain personality there too. What I have liked about the few dungeon monitors that I've met that I've like feel like I know, they're really kind people. They're really cool people. They're really open people when it comes to like sex and kink, but they also do not take shit. Mm-hmm. That has been like one of the sort of common factors among them all. They're all like vastly different, but they take no shit from anybody. And that is why I cannot be a dungeon monitor. Yeah.
And that's a good point that, Rachel.
Rachel's asked the question.
You know, single people, into clubs. Now, I know Phoenix, the Shed, they really have no restriction against single people going into the club. A lot of people do go to the clubs just to socialize.
Right. They're single. They don't have a partner, or their partner can't come with them, and they go. Right. There have been, and sometimes it's a club thing and sometimes it's a specific party thing. Mm-hmm. I have seen rules in places about parties when the whole point is half the people there are probably going to be half naked and doing kinky things. And in some places, single women, not that expensive, maybe even get a cut rate. Single men pay out the fucking ass again.
I have never been to one, but I have looked at some swinger clubs. Mm-hmm. That is something that is very evident in swinger clubs.
It's because some single men just really, really.
As far as DS clubs, have never seen one that charges more for single person over a couple.
No, but I have seen a cut rate for a couple. I have seen $25. Pulling numbers out of my ass here. $25 for a single person. So you would think, it's 50 for a couple. No, it's 40 for a couple.
Now,
and they'll cut a discount.
As far as being a single person in a club, I know Phoenix has a strict rule against harassment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Ben.
Okay, the podcast listeners know what you're talking about. You're looking at the chat on YouTube Live, and somebody, one of our watchers, has mentioned a specific local club, sex club, swinger club.
It's a swinger club.
Yeah. Yes, and we have those here too in the Tampa Bay area. Yep. If you're interested.
Right. But the clubs have a very, very strict non-harassment. If you feel you are being harassed by somebody, tell a dungeon monitor. That person will be ejected immediately. All right. If you go there and you do decide to play, I know our club, they actually have sheets spread out around the club where, again, it explains certain rules for the club, and it is a negotiation sheet. So you could sit there with this person that you met at the club and negotiate your scene. And if anything, again, deviates from that they do not follow the rules of consent, they're getting kicked.
So here's the thing to know, okay? All of that, you will not necessarily know unless you ask some questions. You follow them on FetLife. Reach out. Like, good clubs do these kinds of things. They might do them slightly differently. They might have different methods. Mm-hmm. But a good club, no matter where you travel to, should have some kind of safety mechanism.
Right.
And every club I've ever heard about, not even just the ones we go to, but when I've listened to other Kingsters talk about their clubs, a lot of clubs take the safety of single females, especially submissives, very seriously. The reason? Right. Because there are some predatory, air quote, doms who will see a single sub and just think, oh, yeah, that's where I'm going. And they're like they're on the hunt, on the prowl, and in a gross way.
Yeah.
So some clubs do have overt rules. Some don't. Sometimes if you just tell either the dungeon monitor or the person in charge, or when you walk in at their front desk or however they have you sign in, hey, I'm here alone, I'm a little nervous, they might pair you up with somebody. They might go introduce you to somebody that are like, hey, we think this person is safe for you to know, let's introduce you. And then you're less alone. But you can do this when you're single and traveling. Again, I'm risk averse. I would go with a friend. That's just me. You can't all be like me. You probably shouldn't. That's the lesson here in general. But all of these things we're talking about, when you're traveling out of an area, out of your home area to an unknown location, it's also good if you're going to your own local club for the first time. You won't necessarily know these things. So try to do your research. Y'all, if it's an idea that comes up over brunch and you're going to go late that night, because most club parties are like 10 o'clock at night or something, you got a little bit of time, do some Googling, go on FetLife, do a little bit of research, reach out, ask questions, get the lay of the land, read the group chats, especially if it's on FetLife, and see how people talk to each other and how things are handled and what questions other people have had and how they were answered. And that will give you a sense of whether you can go into this place and expect, by and large, for it to be a safe experience.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to.
And I know, too, something you may want to consider, most clubs, and again, not all, because the two main clubs we have here do not serve alcohol.
Right.
There used to be one play party that occurred locally, and they actually held it in a hotel.
Mm.
And they set up the play party in the convention hall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it was in a hotel setting, they did have an open bar there.
I wouldn't do that personally.
A lot of people shied away from it just for that reason.
Alcohol and kink.
Alcohol and kink.
Don't really mix, y'all.
Now, I have read of people's experiences online, again, in clubs in other countries, and they have a bar in the club.
And it depends on the culture of the club and the community. Yeah. You know, and if it's a problem, then it needs to go. If it's not a problem, and people can handle
what,
it, then
what
fine.
What I had noticed from following that is when people went there to play, they went there and played.
Mm-hmm.
After they were done playing, then they may go sit at the bar, have a drink, and socialize.
Sure. And I have so many thoughts on alcohol and kink. And we've done an episode on that.
Befriend the owners. Yes, that's always a good way to do it, too.
Raxlan has said, befriend the owners. Yes. Yeah. Did I say Rax? I did.
Yeah.
Raxlan. You're Raxlan. Rax. It is what it is. In my defense, I'm really tired.
Says the word person.
So, yeah. We'll go on that rant later. So a lot of this has dived into a topic we've talked about many times, which is how to go your ass to a dungeon and stay safe. Because certain things are the same no matter where you
regardless,
go.
Regardless, yes.
The culture around a club and the way the community vets itself and the way the community opens up to outsiders will be different from place to place.
Yeah.
It will be different from city to city, state to state, country to country. Especially country to country because there are just different ways things have developed over time.
Right.
I would not at all be surprised, though, to take my little kinky Florida self over to California and discover there are some major differences there.
Right.
So best case scenario, you give yourself enough time to try to figure out what's there, especially if you're going to a large enough place where you have options and it's not just the one club. You could pick from two or three to sort of research it, investigate it, think of safety.
Mm-hmm.
Watch how they pay attention to how they treat people online. Because quite frankly, if you were dismissive of your followers online, I don't have a lot of hope for you when I walk into your front door. If you can't pay attention to questions, I don't mean it gets overwhelming and people get busy. I mean, was the moderator of that group an asshole and nobody stopped them from being an asshole? I'm not real confident about going to the club now, right? Whereas the next club over, that might be a smaller group, but it's a nice group and you feel comfortable. Listen to your instincts, y'all. And quite frankly, your instincts won't be like my instincts. My instincts are terrified of everything. So, you know, if you may have a different reaction to a group that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. That's okay. But do a little bit of homework, but don't be so afraid of it that you think it's an impossibility, that you just can't do it at all. Of course you can.
Mm-hmm.
It takes as much, if not a little bit more work as doing it in your own area. The real difference is you know how the hell to get home. If you walk in that door and go, ooh, no, you can turn right back around and go home and you're not in a strange place and you're not necessarily alone. Whereas, traveling, it might just be you or it might just be you and your partner and you know nobody else there and it's more intimidating. But the rules still apply. Listen to your instinct, do your research, ask a shit ton of questions, and pay attention to how you're treated as you're doing this. If you're completely dismissed as a non-entity that doesn't matter, they don't care, and they don't give any fucks about you at that point, from my perspective, I am less inclined to go to that club. Because to me, customer service is like everything, but that's spoken from a person who's had many customer service jobs in her life. I think everybody should have to do that at least for a little while, once in their life, because I think we would all treat each other a lot better if we had to do that. So we are rehashing stuff from older episodes because it is the same regardless.
Pretty much. It's all...
How you get there will be different depending
on
where you're going.
Right.
But once you're in there, the things to look for are the things to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, single or in a couple, wanting to play, not wanting to play. I always feel like we have to say this because we have so many people who get themselves very worked up about this. If you go into a dungeon or club that has a play space, which they will because that's kind of part of the point, there is no requirement, no obligation, no expectation that you play. If somebody makes you feel like that, they're an ass. If they are associated with the club, that might be problematic. Mm-hmm. Like I said, listen to your instinct. But no, you have total freedom to go, I just want to talk to these people over here. I want to watch, but I don't want to play. You do not have to play just because you go.
Prior to you, I used to go to the club probably about once a month. And I didn't have anybody that I played with at that point. I just went to socialize. Mm-hmm. They have the Friday or Saturday night play dates or open parties. And I would go. I would just hang out and socialize with people.
Sure. And that's a thing
we see. And that's perfectly acceptable.
We've seen that in the daytime parties.
Yes.
Single people come in. They talk. They hang out. They're maybe there for 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. Never play.
Right.
And they're gone. And I know, I mean, because this is how my mind works. I'm like, well, if you're going in the day, you're really only going for one reason, right? No, you're going for your own reasons, and your reasons don't have to be my reasons, and they're still equally valid.
Yep.
So all of the things we have talked about with dungeons and clubs in your home area, they all still apply when you travel. Yeah. The difference is researching, asking questions, and getting to understand a little bit of the local ways of doing things, which might be different than what you're used to at home.
Mm-hmm.
But especially for our listeners and watchers who have said many times that they pretty much live in like a kink desert. Like they're driving 2 hours just to go to the Munch because there's nothing in their local area. Personally, if this is the kind of thing that you're really intrigued by and you're sort of bummed you live in an area where you don't have a place you can go, I would definitely use whatever opportunities for travel that you get. If I had known better, quite frankly, so when you and I first got together, we were still long distance. I lived up in the panhandle of Florida.
Yes.
What I learned later was that there is kink lifestyle there, but it was all the old style of private parties and you had to be vetted. It was never going to happen. I don't like talking to strangers, so it was never going to happen. But I came down to Orlando like 2, sometimes 3 times a year on business every year. You and I met in Orlando one time for sure, but maybe twice. It never even, like, I look back now and go, man, we should have taken the night and
gone to the shed.
So now that I know better, right? I think in those terms.
Yes.
So do better than I did back in the day. If you have the time, the opportunity, and the means to actually get there, see if you can get there. You may be surprised at what you find.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
There we are.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Oh my gosh, good. Now I can bitch about how tired I am. Oh, let me do a shout out to our YouTube live stream watchers.
Yep.
Woo! Raxalan, as I keep saying, is here. Hello. Yep. And Heather's
here.
Cutie Princess. And Ben and Buttercup Faith and Chrissy. And Live Simple Bloom Wildly. Live Simple. Good God, I can't read, y'all. I can't read. Live and Live, in my defense.
Live, Simple, Bloom,
Spelled Wildly. Identical. I'm tired and I'm about to bitch about that. okay.
And I have to say, Ben, if you're still, I've always been a tad bit curious about eyes. I have.
I don't know how you... I'm not looking at you like, oh, I can't believe you're curious about this club. I'm looking at you like, what do you mean you haven't gone yet?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
I've known you for several years now, and there's not been a time when you weren't curious about something that you didn't go investigate it. Like, that's your job in this relationship, okay?
Oh, okay.
You are the explorer, and I wait until you send back the signal that it's safe, and then I hold onto your shirt tail and let you lead me forward. This is how this works. This is why we work, because I'm not going, no.
Yeah.
Now, there are certain things I do have that ability to go, yeah, I'll go brave that shit.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten...
Well, you took a major leap 2 years ago, first time you went to London.
I was such a fucking mess. Yeah, okay, let's get into the bonus section so people who got what they came for can leave, and everybody else who's like, no, these people crack me up will stay, have something to stay for.
Okay, he was only there once. An ape. Hi, ape.
Hello. The funny thing is, we were just called Funny and Wonderful, and that's actually really sweet. I've never tried to be either,
so
I'm always like, "Well, what did I do?"
I bet you are, Buttercup Faith. I was actually kind of thinking about that while we're
talking
in Vegas. I'm sure there must be.
Only imagine. Yeah. There are certain places that I would bet money, like you just like trip and you fall into like something else. That's
yeah.
Kink or sex related. Like those places exist. I can't imagine them.
Right.
The Tampa Bay area is the most populated, most metro area I've ever truly lived in long term. I went to college in Montgomery, Alabama. Technically, it's kind of sort of a metro area. Mm. No. And even because Tampa Bay is so sprawling, because it's not just Tampa. We have all these little towns on the outside of Tampa, and we are in one of the towns on the outside of Tampa. I still like find having, when we used to have the one club and then we had Phoenix, having just yeah. that, and then knowing that there's like a sex club, like that seems like a lot to me. And yet, then you think about places like Las Vegas, it's not a lot.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So we're going to get into our bonus section yep. so I can freely bitch about how tired I am.
Okay. So are we good?
I can't speak and I have fucked up everybody's names on our YouTube live thing, so I don't know if I can call myself good today.
All right. Let's get it over with.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we will not see you next week. We
no.
will see you at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to London. We're going to London.
We are.
Oh, my God.
It's been a hell of a long road getting there to go to London.
I am still on the road to go to London.
I know.
I am a dork. And I know I'm a dork and I own my dorkiness. And I like my dorkiness. It's not a flaw to me. Okay. But I also know that I do things that most other people would not necessarily do. So I live and die by to-do lists. If it's not on a to-do list, it doesn't happen.
Oh, I'm going to sit back
you
now.
You might as well. Yeah. I've had this bottled up for a week now.
Okay.
So
now I'm comfortable.
Working for myself means if I want to keep getting paid, even while we're taking vacation, I have to do the work ahead of time. Because I don't want to do it while we're in London. That's right. Not a vacation. I've done that before. Not fun. Not in London, but while vacationing, I've worked and so I do everything ahead of time. So I'm basically doing this week's work, next week's work, and the week after's work, 3 weeks worth of work in 1 week. Now, I coordinated this shit like a military operation, except I'm not in the military, never have been, don't know if that's really the right metaphor to use, but it felt like it.
Yes.
You know, sure, we'll go with that. So I've been working ahead for 2 or 3 weeks now. Like, I didn't wait till this week to get stuff done. I started a couple weeks ago adding, getting ready. But this week is crunch week. I had 2 big projects from clients that have to be done before we leave, plus all my work, plus all the stuff I just want to get done. I made a master to-do list. That's where I was going with this. Master to-do list.
Yeah, I saw the list.
So first of all, that's my first dorky thing. I didn't have like a little to-do list like this week or today. No, master to-do list. The dork part, or the dork part comes in, not the to-do list part. I highly recommend to-do lists. I counted everything on my to-do list, on my master to-do list, and I had 79 items. To give you just a broad overview, in a normal week, not counting blog stuff, I usually have about 10 items. I don't know how it all exploded, but it exploded. I'm down to about 20 items on, no, 15 now on the to-do list. And I'm tired and my hair needs to be cut, which is why it looks like this today, but I'm going to get
tomorrow.
My hair done tomorrow. It will also be a very pretty purple when I'm done. And like I said at the top, there is not enough concealer for these bags. I just didn't even care. I didn't care.
You look marvelous, baby girl.
Oh, God. I'm filled mostly with coffee and cream. I'm not sure there's anything left in me. Just coffee and cream. I'm on my third of the day so far.
Well, see,
it's not even 2 o'clock.
Especially through this particular week, I have been support staff. I have been keeping her supplied with...
He needs a t-shirt that just supports her.
I have been keeping her supplied with coffee.
And caffeine-free Diet Cokes.
Caffeine-free Diet Cokes.
Yes. I know, and you're thinking, you're tired. Why are you drinking caffeine-free? Here's what's hilarious about that. I'm not who I once was. And if I drink caffeinated Diet Coke, at a certain point in the day,
she
I will not
sleeping.
Sleep. I will not sleep. I also, same with coffee. I've been drinking decaf coffee at night. It's very sad. Decaf coffee is sad coffee.
So, you know, yeah, I've been checking in on her ever so often, you know, need anything, baby girl? What can I do for you? You know, and anything I can do to make it easier for her. So, yeah, I've been... Then making sure, you know, when is your stopping point that, you know, so we're getting ready for bed. And
so here's why all of this matters, and I have had this bottled up for a week. The goal, I don't know if y'all have noticed, I really like having goals. It's the other thing about me. The goal is to be done today. I still have, there's still hours in this day. Thank you very much if you're listening or watching or whatever on Thursday. The goal is to be done by the end of the night Thursday so that when we wake up on Friday, we're not traveling on Friday. The kids' spring break starts on Friday. I got my hair appointment. Like I said, it's going to finally be the right length and purple. We've got mani-pedis scheduled. We have to buy like some of our toiletries. You know, you run out of the little things or whatever. Got to get some of those things.
I absolutely agree, Ape.
What did Ape say? Decaf is basically warm colored water.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Decaf like, is just like the sad version of whatever you're drinking.
Drinking decaf is like taking a shower with a raincoat. What's the point?
You have been reading too many coffee memes. So, the goal the whole time has been Thursday night when I go to bed, when I put my head down on the pillow, I'm done. The thing is I've been pushing myself every day so that I get as much done so that that's actually a feasible goal. I never have actually tried to do this much work in 1 week, so I did not know how much I was actually capable of getting done. So here's what is happening. One, every day I'm more tired than the day before, no matter how much sleep I get. And we've been sleeping really well.
Yes, we have.
I've been sleeping through the night. I've been getting enough, air quotes, enough sleep. But every day I wake up more tired than I was the day before.
Well, we have actually started a new routine at bedtime.
Yes, we brought a woman into our bed.
Yeah, we have
virtually.
A third.
Virtually. Yes, virtually. Don't anybody get excited.
We've been doing it now
3 weeks?
9 or 10 days.
Oh, we've been doing it longer than that, haven't we?
No.
Oh, I thought it was longer. Okay.
Nope.
What do I know?
9 or 10 days at this point. And basically what it is, it's a meditation app. And they have a 20-minute sleep meditation.
Yep.
And after we go into bed, we still have our bedtime routine. When we go to bed, that's our time, her and I, we talk. And once we're done with that and we're ready to settle in.
Keep talking. We'll tell them in a minute. Keep talking.
So once we settle in and we're ready to go to sleep, I will turn on this sleep meditation, and it has actually been a big help.
Oh my God.
It relaxes us and fall asleep much better. And I know for myself, who is someone who suffers from insomnia and I wake up multiple times during the night, I find that I have slept a lot more sounder.
Yeah, so have I. And that's been my issue is I could fall asleep, but I couldn't stay asleep. Or I had the double whammy of couldn't fall asleep, finally fell asleep, and couldn't stay asleep.
Okay, now I see it.
Yes, so what's got John Brownstone laughing his fucking ass off is in the YouTube live stream chat. Ben says, both regular and decaf coffee are made from the coffee plant.
Right.
Regular is made from the beans. Decaf is made from the dirt.
Yes. Yes.
You know what? And y'all laugh at me. I can make decaf coffee taste like the fucking bomb. Like, it's the best shit ever. It tastes like dessert coffee by the time I'm done for it. It is still sad coffee because my eyes have the ability to close after I drink it.
Right.
So... yeah, I've been pushing myself really, really hard because I really want to be done by the end of Thursday, the day we're recording, before we go, because then it means I can actually participate in getting ready for our trip. Every trip we've taken since last March, since last London trip, last Eroticon, I have not participated in getting ready.
No.
I have worked literally up until he's like, you have to close the laptop, we have to go.
I have done all the packing and preparation. I have gotten the boys packed. I have loaded the car even.
I know. Yeah, he's done it all. I have not.
So, yeah, I made a request to my beautiful baby girl that come Friday, she will help me pack and finish preparing for this trip. While she has been working all this week, I have been doing a lot of the pre-prep.
I know. He's picked up my panties.
yep.
for our trip. Mm-hmm. His socks are laid out.
I've started pulling things
that's
out.
That's it. He's wearing socks and I'm wearing panties and that's it. Welcome, London. Woo!
Boy, are we going to be the hit of the international scene.
We're fun to travel with, just so you know, in case you wondered. So I'm the way our trip is working, I'm going to try and be done. I keep saying this because I feel like if I keep saying it, maybe I can make it happen. Going to be done by Thursday night, March, what's today? 7th. March 7th. March 8th is prep day, appointments and blah, 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 blah. Oh, we have to get some cash and get it exchanged and all that good stuff. Then Saturday the 9th, we get in the car, we drive to Mississippi where my mother lives. We spend a couple days there, and then Monday night, we drive to New Orleans, and we fly on a direct flight on British Airways to London, and we arrive Tuesday morning. And what I'm hoping and praying is between the 8th and when we get on the plane in New Orleans, I have rested because I'm getting basic words wrong. My thought processes have slowed way the hell down. My reaction times have slowed way the hell down. Y'all can hear me. I am not quite speaking like I normally do. I'm trying. I'm trying really hard. So I'm ready to be rested.
And yes, 8 panties. Well, yeah, we are bringing some. Doesn't mean she will be wearing them necessarily.
I can't take a panty selfie for Instagram if I'm not wearing panties, okay? I don't wear them very often. Certain situations. Might not wear them in London. Who the hell knows? But right? I'll have them. Because you never know. What else I was going to say? Oh, and for anybody who's like, why are you putting yourself through all this? This sounds like hell to work like this before you travel. You're right. It is hell, but it's so worth it because I don't lose any money and I get to go on the trip and be relaxed.
With a clean slate. You don't have to worry about anything.
I'll do a little bit of blogging stuff. For anybody who actually follows the lovingbdsm.net website, you will not see anything there for a couple of weeks until we get back. The week of March 25th is when we'll start publishing again. So it'll be very quiet there. But there are a couple of other little blog things that I will do. Yeah. But yeah, it's the whole point is to actually go and immerse ourselves into London. So some of our longtime listeners and people who've gone back to the archive have mentioned a few times over the past like 6 months. Wait, you said last year, Eroticon 2018, you were going to do a bonus pod talking about your Eroticon experience. Where is that?
Yeah.
It ended up being... Eroticon was great because Eroticon is always great. London was great because it's fucking London. Are you kidding me? We had such a chaotic, stressful trip and time and then came back to chaos and stress that it did not happen. As long as the trip is like a mostly good trip and all of the websites do not crash for 6 weeks.
Well, this
and all
this
of those
year,
other things, we should be able to do a bonus pod when we get back.
Right. I mean, last year we had massive website issues when we went. Matter of fact, just as we were getting on the plane, we were notified that everything had gone down.
Yeah. All the websites crashed.
And I spent a good portion of my time in London on the phone with tech support or in chat. So we are not with the same hosting company. We have a new and very reliable hosting company. So, you know, I'm not going to say never, but, you know, feel very confident about that aspect.
The hosting company is better, and the underlying problem that was crashing everything is gone, which is why every time I get questions from people who are going through our archive, and they're like, hey, I was looking for this feature you used to talk about. Yeah, we had to take that down.
Yeah.
We had to simplify everything just to make sure we could be steady and stable. So the things that contributed to that last year are not a factor. So it should be fine. And you and I were not in the greatest shape last year.
No, you were having your problems with your ulcer and your neck. Mm-hmm. Me, I was just horribly out of shape and overweight.
You've lost 50 pounds in the past year.
Yes.
If none of y'all knew, 50. I've lost 20 and I keep chasing the last three or four. Like they can't decide.
I have dropped 50 pounds and I do have a bad back. I have four bulging discs.
Yes.
I was pretty rough on my body in my younger years. And losing that 50 pounds has been a tremendous help. I have not had to go to the chiropractor
no.
since I've lost that weight.
You, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx us. Your back has mostly cooperated since then.
Right.
Too. So we think that the whole trip will be a better experience. We did talk about last week or week before that we would vlog it and then there would be a video that came out mm-hmm. on YouTube once we got back. But we will likely also do some audio for it too. We might not live stream it. I don't know. Because we didn't do it last year. And last year's trip to London was supposed to be our honeymoon.
Right.
And I only think we didn't have any kinky fuckery.
No.
And we only had sex once.
Yeah.
The whole week.
The whole time.
A whole hotel room.
Yeah.
And we didn't destroy it.
We were just in a missed opportunity.
A
hot mess last year.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for a better trip this year.
Yeah. And Ben, you know, yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. But, you know, last year when we traveled, going to London, I had no problem adjusting to the time.
The idea, John Brownstone is mentioning, Ben has suggested that maybe we switch our sleep schedules to London time.
Right. And really, I had no problem with that going there. I adjusted really quick. When I came home was when it all caught up to me.
I don't remember anymore. I remember being such a hot mess the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. So, yeah, I'm just trying to get through the day that we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's what I noticed from last year to this year.
Okay.
Everything feels like it's clicking better this year.
Yes.
Than last year. Last year from 2 weeks out when we started getting ready to travel, everything felt chaotic and it stayed chaotic
mm-hmm.
the whole time until we got home. And while I'm exhausted and I'm bitching about it because I can do that, so my shirt says, baby girl.
Yeah.
I don't feel chaotic. I feel like things are happening.
Falling into place.
Falling into place. Thank you.
Yeah.
Words are difficult.
The puzzle pieces are fitting together.
Right. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've done a lot of talking about London. And so here's what's going to happen. When we get back from London, we will do a lot of talking about the move. Y'all are going to be so sick and tired of our personal lives. It's not even going to be funny.
Right.
And then once we move, I don't know what the hell we'll talk about then. So we'll find something.
We'll find something, I'm sure.
So yeah, there's...
Yeah.
There's just, it's all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
I do not feel like myself right now. I don't know what that is done to this live stream and then the eventual podcast that people will hear. I do not know. I can feel my anxiety like right under the surface, like wanting to poke its little head out and go, ooh, is this a good time for me to arrive? I'm squashing my anxiety down like, no. Nobody got time for your shit.
We were just perpetrators to coffee abuse.
There was coffee abuse.
Yes.
Oh, no. Spitting out your coffee. I'm so sorry. Somebody spit out their coffee. That's a crime against coffee. So, yeah, that's us right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of ready to... I'm excited to go. I'm going to see a whole bunch of people that I adore. I'm going to meet people that I only know online.
Mm-hmm.
We've got other things, though. But as much as I'm looking forward to Eroticon... There are other things coming up for us in the future. One thing that is almost planned, we just don't have a date for it yet, which is why we're not talking about it. But that plan leads into other things we want to do. That means that we might actually get to go out into the world where y'all are.
Yes.
And be with y'all and have these conversations.
Right.
And I'm kind of, there's a part of me that's like, okay, let's get past all these other things that we were planning and let's go work on that because that
right.
is also exciting.
Well, we have the possibility of one later in the year.
Mm-hmm. A public event, being
public
like
event.
Speaking publicly. Y'all.
Yep. It's not set in stone yet.
Mm-mm, not yet.
And it's definitely not going to be until after we get moved.
Right. It'll probably be a summer thing.
Settled. Yeah.
Just because one, we think the children will be with their grandmother. This is awesome. And
if you're holding my fingers.
All right. And two, we love our children. We love our children. And two, that just, we got this great invite to come speak. And we're like, oh, we want to do this, but we cannot do this right now. Please give us some time. And that person
right.
was wonderful and was like, yes, I'll give you some time. So I think once we do this and we don't fall completely flat on our face while doing it, we will want to do more of it.
Right.
So we've got a lot of things we're like
mm-hmm.
looking forward to.
Yes.
I do sometimes because my anxiety is poking its little head up. Right. And the bonus section is where I can talk about these things. But right now I feel like we have been very self-indulgent about talking about these things. And my anxiety says, people don't give a shit. They just want the information. Why can't you be more professional? And I'm like, because I can't. Because if anybody signed up to this joint because I was a professional, oh, I am so sorry for you. False advertising right there. Yeah. Or false expectations. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're wild. We're wacky. You know, we do this. Every time we're about to take a break, we go way long.
I know.
Partly because we are going to miss the fuck out of
you. We are.
We always do. We always miss you guys. We always miss you guys.
You know, we've said, you know, we are looking forward to going to London.
We are looking forward to a break.
Looking forward to a
break.
Definitely hoping to have some adventures while we're in London.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, it you know, when we're not doing that, we miss it.
I do. I'm good. The first week we don't record anything or I don't write a blog post or whatever. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, look, this is time to myself. I don't have to do, you know, the schedule is different. Oh, this is nice. By the second time, I'm kind of like, yeah, it's nice, but could I just turn on a microphone? Could I just get anybody to randomly listen to me? I've got shit to say. I actually will start saving up stuff. I'm like, oh, crap. I really want to talk about this.
Well, you know, and on the other hand, that's kind of the cool thing about us possibly doing some video for the vlog while we're there.
Yes.
Which will be cool, too. It'll kind of feed our need, you know, for this. And hopefully some of y'all will be interested in seeing it when we get back.
Exactly. As long as everybody can be patient so I can edit the damn thing. So, yeah, there's a lot. And I am looking forward to a couple weeks off because usually the other thing I'm looking forward to it about it. Did those words make sense?
No.
Is that is usually once I get a small break, that's when more ideas and I start going, oh, we need to talk about this and we need to talk about that and we need to talk about this and I've got thoughts about that and I need to rant about this. And I could use some of that.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, our kinky patrons have been amazing.
Oh, and, yeah.
I do want to give our, our Patreon shout out to Kalina and Jay, Conduit of Queerness itself. Because you can't have a name like that and not say it like that, y'all. Just saying. For being our kinky patrons at the shout out level. But for all our patrons, even if you're not a patron, we have some people and it's the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And it breaks my heart at the same time because I've been in this position. I have people who reach out and they're like, I really want to support you on Patreon, but I have no money. That's okay. Yeah. That is okay. There are just knowing that you're out there listening and that we're helping you or that you've told a friend of yours, you know, a kinky friend of yours about us and they found whatever. That's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Love it.
If you cannot, you know, help like that financially, not being a patron,
can.
You know, not everybody can. We understand that. But you know what? Writing a review on iTunes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Telling people about us.
Telling your kinky community. I mean,
that's a big help in
itself. You
might
not be online as a kinkster. Not everybody is. I know if you are on kinky Twitter, it feels like everybody is on kinky Twitter. You're not. It does, though. It feels like it.
Yeah.
I've had people message us and go, I told my munch group about your podcast. That's fucking amazing. Thank you. I never know if any of those people listen. I don't care. I don't need to know. Please feel free. If we are a resource of yours and you like us enough and trust us enough to then share us as a resource with somebody that you care about in your life who's trying to get better at kink and have better relationships, that's a huge help. We like the money and I have big plans if our Patreon grows to my big ass goals. I got some big ass plans, okay? But you don't have to be a patron of ours to be valuable to us, to be meaningful to us, to be special to us. The fact that there are people in this world who will listen to the very end of every podcast or every video, because who knows what the fuck we'll say even at the end, is both astounding, because I'm not even like that. I'll be watching videos go, nope, I'm done.
Yeah.
But two, that is part of what keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the money is good. We need, believe me, none of this comes for free or cheap. But it's y'all, the listener and the watcher and the viewer and the person who DMs us and the person who emails us. Those y'all are who keep me going.
Yeah.
I like cash. Not gonna mm-hmm. lie. I've got major plans of things I want to do. But I'm going to keep doing this even if that doesn't happen. Because mm-hmm. it's y'all on the other side of this microphone or this camera that fuel it. Yeah. And if not for y'all, I'd just be a crazy lady talking to myself. And I already am.
Now, there's something I have to address real quick here. Uh-oh. Chrissy, she asked, how is the coffee in London?
I only had Starbucks coffee last year. I don't know. The
coffee is in
smaller. They don't understand iced drinks at all.
No.
I confuse the fuck out of a barista. Yep.
The coffee there is different. It's not bad. But we were able to find the one Starbucks right around the venue. And we pretty much camped out there. So it was good.
Yeah, but I really did confuse them. I was like, I just want an iced coffee. And I knew that I now understand a little bit enough about the UK. To them, iced is they put like one ice cube in. And so me saying, okay, I'm going to need you to fill this cup up halfway with just ice. And then put the coffee over it. And then put the cream over it. And then put the sweetener in it. And zhuzh it up. Like, that's what I need you to do.
Well, you know.
I've been
watching the weather. Mm-hmm. In London for the time we're going to be there as the forecast has moved ahead.
Yeah. It's going to be cold. That's all I need.
It's going to be cold. So I think there's going to be a lot of hot coffee drank. So.
Yeah, but it was dead of Florida winter is not the same as dead of winter other places. I understand that. But dead of Florida winter to Florida girl who does not like the cold. Thank you very much. I still drink my ass some two or three iced coffees a day.
It can be dead of summer in Florida here, and I will still drink a hot coffee.
I can't do that. But here's what I do remember. This happened the first year I went, and this happened last year. We didn't get to do it last year because when we arrived, things were closing down. But the first year I went to London and came back, my first stop on that first leg home in the States was, I think, Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a lot of time between that flight and the next, but I had some. I ran to the Starbucks, ordered a venti, and then just like sat in this little corner of this Baltimore airport.
And sucked it down
because I finally got an iced coffee, a real iced coffee. Not what poor little sad UK baristas were very confused. Like, we all spoke English in there, and there was still a language barrier with me trying to explain an iced coffee. But, you know, we suffer through. We do what we have to do. We have to stop talking at a certain point. I don't want to, but I also have shit I have to go do. Right. And we have another video to record.
Yep.
But I do want to thank everybody for being a thing I can cross off my to-do list now. That massive list just got dwindled down by one because we recorded this podcast and the video.
I just want to say real quick, we do have to go because we do have a lot to do. But I want to say, you know, we started this live streaming. Uh-huh. And today we have 15 people.
Watching at one time. I know. We are small, but we are mighty.
Yep.
And we love every fucking one of you. At
16 now.
Oh, look at us.
And, you know, it's wonderful. When I see those numbers popping up like that, it's just amazing that y'all are here with us.
Right.
And we love you.
We love you. We don't understand it, but we do love you.
Yes.
Because I know I annoy people. I kind of revel in it. Like, let me annoy you. Please come closer. I will annoy you some more. but it is a little different to put yourself out on the interwebs.
Yeah.
God damn it, I can't talk.
The interwebs.
The interwebs is what I was trying to say. The whole moment is gone.
Pretty bad when I am the word person.
That is pretty bad.
That's.
Okay, we have talked for so long. Yes. We need to stop talking.
All right.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for being here with us and joining us.
Yes. Follow us on social. We will try to Instagram, Twitter, places like that. We'll try to post things as we travel.
Yes.
But if for some reason we don't, we will be back the week of March 25th. Yeah. We have not gone anywhere. Don't anybody get all panicky. We will be back.
Hopefully with stories to tell.
Better be with damn stories to tell. And a lot less tired than I am right now.
Yes.
And hopefully with better hair and less concealer. There's so many things. Oh, and my actual bra, not just the sports bra.
Okay.
Okay. We love you guys.
We love you guys.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye.